Yeah, we did pay the electric bill. So that shouldn't be a problem. Aren't we thankful? Every good thing we get to enjoy. Would you go to the 103rd Psalm with me again this evening? If you weren't with us last night, we're continuing on what we started last night. And I think it would benefit you to hear the previous message. You go online, faithlife.org, and all those things are there. Phyllis asked last night about if you had known or seen Faith School. And so I guess a lot of folks have. That was the indication. I really feel like that in our ministry, the Lord's prepared us the past 40 years to do Faith School, among other things. But that's a central thing I can see as we're doing it. The Lord's really helping us and meeting us. And our desire and mission is to put it in multiple languages and reach millions around the world, right? And so our initial phase was going to be to do 1,000 messages on faith. That wasn't going to be our ending point. That's our first phase. And get them in 20, 30, 40 languages, we'll see. But as it stands now, we are 25 languages. And I'll read you some of them, because if you have friends or family or people that you know in these areas, they may not know about it. Send them a link and let them get started in their language. Arabic, Bengali, Bulgarian, Czech, Estonian, Farsi, Filipino, French, German, Hindi, Indonesian, Italian, Japanese. Yeah, you ought to see me preaching Japanese. I surprised myself. Korean, which is just as entertaining. Mandarin Chinese. And boy, that reaches a lot of people there. Malaysian, Polish, Portuguese, Russian, Spanish, Swahili. I tell you something funny. We a church member and a friend of ours works at the airport, and we flew in a while back. He met us, and he is from Kenya. And he said, "Let me tell you something, Brother Keith." He said, "Was it his aunt? His aunt, depending on where you're from, auntie?" Said she asked him. She said, "When did Brother Keith learn Swahili? Did you teach him Swahili?" Isn't that wonderful? Because what we're using is AI, artificial intelligence, and it puts it in my voice. And so it sounds like me, but it's in that language, and you have to do it. It's been some expense involved because you have to do it each piece at a time. But we're well on our way. Thai, Turkish, Ukrainian, Vietnamese. And so we've got 800 English messages now on our way to the 1,000. And we'll have a couple of hundred in these different ones soon. But our goal is to get the full 800 in all the languages. Amen. And so we'll just keep going with the Lord's help as He would help us to get there. So if you hadn't known about Faith School, go online, faithschool.org. We'll take you directly to it. And there's no charge. There's no requirement, because you, our partners, have underwritten it and continue to underwrite it so that it's free. And that really can be a great thing in other countries, especially in some places where Christianity is not allowed, where there doesn't have to be any transaction. They can go to a cyber cafe or something and just load up. And so anyway, thank you, partners, for being a part of that. And help send it around to people that speak the other languages. Psalm 103, did you find? Psalm 103, 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases." Go ahead and say that out loud. He forgives,
all
my iniquities.
My iniquities.
He heals
all
my diseases.
He
redeems your life from destruction. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, there's a whole thing here. Many don't really believe how good God is. They choke when it gets beyond a certain point. But a lack of experiencing goodness and increasing measures of goodness is what will make you old before your time and get you discouraged. But notice, He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy, satisfies your mouth with what?
Good
things, and that results in what? A revitalization in your older age. Why? Well, if you haven't experienced it, then you need to. Because if you're going along and all you're getting is discouraged, 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 failure, 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 you'll start looking and feeling older than you should. There's a disconnect from life. But even if you're feeling a little draggy and something great happens. Hallelujah. That was a little weak on that. I said something great happens. It puts a pep in your step, right? It puts a smile on your face. You look better. You feel better. That affects your immune system. It affects your brain. The joy of the Lord is your strength. It's life. So it's right to be a part of causing good things to happen for other people and then believe for a harvest of good things in your own life and just keep going up from grace to grace and glory to glory. So go ahead and say that out loud. He satisfies my mouth,
with good things,
all manner of good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. Now, we began on this last night talking about the difference between His ways, His acts, and actually more than a couple translations translate, instead of His acts, translated His will or His wills, plural. He made known to Moses His ways. And to the rest of the group, the children of Israel, they knew and recognized His will, His doings, His acts. And I mentioned this, that a lot of us come up in the same camp. We'd call Word of Faith. And we've learned some things about faith. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
And that one of the things that you had to learn is that you got to have a revelation of the will of God in order to get in faith.
Yes, sir.
As long as you are questioning God's will about a thing, you can't be in faith about that thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, we heard Brother Hagin talk about this decades ago, about somebody coming to be prayed for to be healed. And they would say, you know, Lord, heal them if it be thy will. And so we all learned, that's not the prayer. You got to find out the will of God, right? In order to be able to be in faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for or expected. That word substance can also be translated foundation. Yes, yes. It is a persuasion. You got to get settled on a solid foundation that you know something in order to be in faith. And that is a bedrock of our doctrine in the Word of Faith camp. And that's good. And it's right. But what I'm seeing as I go further is that there have been some omissions in the area of His ways. We've known something about His will, but that's not the same as knowing His ways. And there have been numerous mistakes. I shared with you a mistake Phyllis and I made early on, trying to believe for something. We became convinced of the will of God for us to have something, but then we went further and we tried to tell Him how to do it.
Okay.
Without meaning to, we just got an idea and said, well, it'll happen this way, when He didn't say it would happen this way. We should believe that God's will is for us to have a good thing. We should be persuaded in it. We should be convinced in it. We should believe He's good and faithful to do it. But we cannot tell Him how to do it.
Yes.
Are y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yeah.
You must not try to tell Him how to do a thing. You've got to get that from Him.
Right?
Right? And we've found the further we've gone in doing things in ministry and stepping out to new things, that maybe we got the will of God that it should happen.
Right, right.
But that was just the first part.
Right, right.
As we walked it out, every day we had to find out who, where, how. Oh, come on, y'all with me. When, and you must not just fill in the blanks.
Yeah.
Whatever that you want to do.
Yes, amen.
So is there a difference between will and ways?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. So look with me in well, for time's sake, go to Psalm 81. Psalm 81. Verse 10. He said, I am the Lord your God that brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. You got to be receptive. Huh? Verse 11. But my people would not hearken to my voice. Israel would none of me. And that's what we read in Psalm 95, that's also recorded in the book of Hebrews last night, how that He said, don't harden your heart like they did in the wilderness in time of temptation and provocation. He said, I said, they always err in their heart and they have not known my ways.
Okay.
My ways. My ways. And because of that, He said, they shall not enter into my rest. That was what kept them out of the promised land. It's called unbelief, but it's not an unbelief because of ignorance. It's an unbelief that is rebellious. A refusal to be persuaded, and it's accompanied with an insistence on doing it my way.
Yeah, yeah.
Hmm? Now, without going into any detail, have you encountered folks that insist on doing it their way? Well, reckon you have ever been that way. Hands down, we're no altar call right now, but is it an issue? You know, we talked last night about the famous song from a while back, I Did It My Way. It was, I guess, one of Frank Sinatra's most famous songs. And also Elvis did it, right?
Yes.
I think it was originally a French song. And I believe it was Frank Sinatra's daughter said that, you know, Mr. Sinatra sang it so much, he came to hate it. That he thought it was self-serving. And, well, it is.
Absolutely.
Right?
Oh, absolutely.
But if you, at the end of your life, can stand and insist, I did it my way, well, then you didn't do it God's way.
Right.
Because those two are not the same. And we must understand that God doesn't adapt to the way we want things done. Because our way could never be as good and right as His way. And the reason He does things the way He does them is because of His vast wisdom and understanding and knowing the end from the beginning. And haven't you noticed every time the Lord deals with you to do something in a way you didn't expect, if you'll obey Him, you find out, oh man, there was 100 reasons why He wanted it done that way that would have never crossed my mind, which is why we must not try to get Him to do it our way. So I'm not singing that song at the end of my life. I'd like to write a new song. Is that right? You know, Jesus said, I do always those things that please Him. Hallelujah. So I'd like to sing at the end, I did it His way. What do you think? I think I could break out into song on that. I did it His way. I'm not a fool. I'm doing it His way. Psalm 81, are you there?
Yes.
He said, verse 12, my people, you know, verse 11, they wouldn't listen to me. So I gave them up to what? Their own heart's lust. And so then they walked in what?
Their own
counsels. Do you know the Lord will let you do what you want to do? Oh, yeah. He will let you do it if it messes up everything in your life. No matter how important it is, if you insist on it, if you push on it. I know the early days of our ministry. You know, when you're young, you can be pretty dumb. And I pushed in prayer. I thought I wanted to do certain things. And I did it. I pushed and pushed and did it. And it didn't work at all. And a little while after that, there was some other bright idea I had. And I pushed. What are you laughing about? I pushed and I pushed. And I mean, and that one was worse. That was like almost a disaster. And finally, after that, I came and fell out on the floor. I said, Lord, I don't want You to let me do stuff anymore. I want to know what You want me to do. How many of that's the starting point? Not, Lord, I got a plan. Bless it. Help me. No. Go first. Inquire of the Lord. Ask. And so he goes on to say, he said, I gave them to their own heart's lust and they walked in their own counsels. It was their choice. But listen to the heart of God. God is not remote, untouched by his creation. This is God speaking. And his first word is what? Oh. This is soul. This is emotion. Right? This is identifying with the situation. He's not just way away in heaven and a bunch of stuff's going down here that he's not even interested in. Oh, that my people, now, not everybody's his people. And that's another thing. But his people are the apple of his eye. His people he cares about. He's watching. Even if they won't listen to him, he still cares. And he says, oh, that my people had a hearken to me. And Israel had walked in my ways. You know what you got to find out before you can walk in his ways? You got to find out what his way is. Right? And if you just rush past that trying to do something your way, you're not even looking. But Jesus said, ask, it'll be given. Yes. Seek, yes. And you'll find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. And so, like Proverbs says, in all your ways acknowledge him. In everything you do, what we must stop doing is presuming. And not asking. We must not take things for granted that we know. Because we don't know half what we think we know. Do you know what I mean by that or not? I mean, every situation that you know something about, most of the situation you don't know about. You certainly don't know. You don't know everybody's heart involved. You don't know everybody's history involved. You certainly don't know the future.
Yeah.
So you and I require additional information.
Yes.
But we won't get it. I mean, the reservoir of all of it is living personally on the inside of us, the Holy Spirit of God. And Jesus already said his job that he's going to do, he's going to teach you. He's going to guide you into all the truth. He's going to bring to your remembrance everything that I said to you. He will even show you things to come. Would that encompass God's ways? It certainly would if we care to know it. If we are not too busy to ask and check. Somebody say, I'm not too busy to ask and check. And I'm not so foolish to think I know all about it. All about any situation. So he said, in other words, if they had hearkened to me, if my people had listened to me and Israel had walked in my ways, I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. This is not going year after year with the same devil problem. Oh, come on, y'all. This is not going extended lengths of time with no relief and no success. He said, I'd have dealt with it soon. If what? If they had wanted to hear me and were willing to do it my way, I would have fixed it soon. Anybody like soon? I'm a big fan of soon. I would soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. And I mean, if God is for you and he's against your adversary, who can be against you? He goes on to say, the haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves to him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied you. This describes the good of the land, the best of the best. Anybody interested in that? What's going to get us there? We got to listen. And we got to do it his way. Do you agree?
Yes.
Go with me to the book of Job, please. The book of Job. What a blessing it is to be together tonight. Book of Job, the 13th chapter. This is a phrase that you'll hear quoted sometimes, but you usually only hear half of it. And that's when you get the half-right doctrine, which is also half-wrong. Job 13:15, Job is under a lot of pressure. He has been severely attacked, and he's hurting. He's hurting in his spirit. He's hurting in his soul. He's hurting in his mind. He's hurting in his body. And he makes this statement. He says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You ever heard this one quoted? This is, huh? That's good. But he wasn't done talking. I said he wasn't done.
Yeah.
What's the rest of his phrase? But, what? I will maintain my own ways before him. Bad. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him? Good. I will maintain my own ways before him? Bad. And that latter part is what he had to repent for by the end of the book. Why would he say that? Well, he meant every word of it. He was saying that from his toes. Listen to other translations. Young's literal says, lo, he does slay me, I wait not, only my ways unto his face I argue. The NIV says, though he slay me, yet will I hope in him. I will surely defend my ways to his face. The Amplified kind of puts them both together. The Amplified says, behold, he will slay me. I have no hope. Now, that was their rendering of it. Nevertheless, I will maintain and argue my ways before him, even to his face. Well, we don't have to wonder how that worked out. Go to chapter 40. We have the account of exactly God's personal response to this challenge. Job 40, you know, the Lord appeared in a whirlwind.
Yeah.
And Job 40:1, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he that contends with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproves God, let him answer it. And then he paused and waited for Job to respond. Now see, Job never imagined that God would personally respond to his challenge. And yet, he is seeing the glory in the whirlwind. He is hearing the voice of God. And God said, shall he that contends with the Almighty teach him, instruct him? The one that's going to straighten God out. Speak up. I'm here. Job said, he said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer you? I'm going to lay my hand on my mouth. I spoke one time, but I'm not going to answer. Yeah, twice I talked, but no further. I am done. And the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Gird up your loins like a man. It's a wonder he didn't just fall out and die right there. I will demand of you, and you declare to me. Will you disannul my judgment? Will you condemn me that you may be righteous? And then he starts asking him questions.
Yeah.
Do you have an arm like God? Can you thunder with a voice like him? And he just kept going on question after question. And every one of Job's answers would have had to been no, no, no. I always wondered about that. No, had no idea. No, no, never even thought to ask the question. No, no, no. Now let's just stop though. Is God being mean to him? Is he being cruel to him? Is he trying to scare him? That's not God. That's not God. I know years ago, this puzzled me, this book, and not claiming I understand it all yet, but because the interaction between Job and his friends was that Job had sinned. And that's why these bad things had happened to him. And Job was insistent, no, I have not. That is not why these things. And I mean, it was what, 38 chapters of this, you know, back and forth and back and forth. And in fact, Job became defiant because one thing you got to understand, when you read the first couple of chapters of Job and it says the devil was challenging to access to Job, and the devil went and did. Job didn't know the devil existed. He didn't know any of that. So he's attributing everything to God, and he finds in his mind that God's unfair for allowing this or causing this to happen to him. And so they go back and forwards for all these chapters. You sinned. No, I didn't. You had to. I did not. Yes, you did. No, I didn't. Basically. And so I thought for years, well, that's the big issue, is did Job sin or he didn't? And finally, thank the Lord, the Holy Spirit helped me to see. No, no, Keith, that's not the question. I thought, well, what's the question? He spoke to my heart. He said, it's what you do when you don't know why. This is the big test of faith.
Okay.
Come on, you are with me.
Yeah.
That's why the disciples ran away from Jesus when the guards came to get him for the mock trial and all that. They couldn't fathom that the Lord would allow this. They thought this was impossible. That he would let them take him, spit on him, slap him, scourge him, crucify him. They were tilt. That's what they didn't know what to do. They ran away. That's how Peter got to the point where he's denying he even knows him. The big test of your faith and mine is what we do when we don't know why. When we don't understand. Do you remember when Jesus preached the message on eat my flesh and drink my blood? And I mean, masses of people left him. Now, they didn't just leave the service that day. They said, take our name off your mail list. That's what happened. They walked no more. It was so bad. It was so pervasive, he looked at the 12 and said, are you leaving too? Why did they all leave? And if you'll notice, as he was preaching the message, people were getting upset, and he didn't even try to explain it. You could say he made it worse. Because he would just say the same thing in a stronger way. Why? Because if you have to understand before you will trust, you don't.
That's good.
That's good.
Okay.
That's good. Are y'all with me? You don't. What do you mean? There'll be something that'll come along that you can't handle. And you'll quit and you'll disconnect. You'll break off. Real faith is trusting in someone, their word, their integrity, their faithfulness, their love for you, to the point where you are really baffled by what's happening. But you always come back to this. I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. I trust you. And this is how you want to live. And this is how you want to die. And you do not permit, you do not allow any questioning language about God's character or faithfulness to you. You interrupt it and you say, no. No. Yea, let God be true and every man a liar that says otherwise. My God is good and my God is faithful. Faithful. Faithful to me.
Faithful to me.
I've heard people say, well, you know, what if I'm trying to believe God and I die? You don't want to die any other way, honey child, right? Than believing God. And let's say you're endeavoring to believe for a healing. And you come short. And your life is shortened a bit. Well, as soon as you get out of your body, where are you going? Who are you going to see? Is that right? And you can tell him. You can say, Lord, I was trying to believe everything I knew. He would say, I know, baby, I know. Come here. Come here. Come here. And as he hugs you, you won't care. You will not care. And I'm telling you, for probably the next 100 years plus, every once in a while you'll stop and go, oh, oh, no wonder. Oh, okay. Because why? Because now we only know in part. And it's those parts we don't know that can leave us in the dark. So the thing that'll get you and I through the toughest places in life is a bedrock persuasion that we trust our God. And even when we don't know why, we look up, if we need to, we look up through our tears. We look up through our questions. It's all right to ask a question. It's not all right to question God. You know what I mean by that? Question is integrity. Question is faithfulness. You should never go, why God? Why? That is you failing a big test. That's, and it's acting like you did everything right. See, what am I saying? You're getting into what Job did. Why God? Where are you? Why? Don't let such things come out of your mouth. Ever. Oh, come on. Are you with me or not? Do not, no matter what happens, what doesn't happen, the proud don't get grace. They don't get help. They get resisted. If you want help, there's got to be some humility. And the humility will be in you coming before your God. Get on your knees. Get on your face. Raise your hands and say, Father, you know what I know and what I don't, and I don't understand this, and I thought this or I thought that, and that may be a clue to you having focused too much on the way you thought something should happen, but you say, Lord, forgive me if I've thought wrong, but I trust you. In life, in death, if I understand, if I don't, I trust you. Hallelujah. You're a good God. No matter what it looks like or feels like, you're a good God. You are a faithful God. Can you say amen? In Job 42 and verse 1, Job answered the Lord. And this happened right before his breakthrough and his deliverance and his healing and ultimate restoration to becoming even richer than he was before. Job answered the Lord and said, this was after those 50 questions he couldn't answer. He said, I know you can do everything, and no thought can be withholden from you. Who is he that hides counsel without knowledge? He's the one that said it. God's the one that repeated it back to him. He's saying, it was me. But I uttered what I understood not. I didn't understand what was going on. Things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear and I'll speak. I demand of you and declare to me. He's quoting himself. He's the one who said that. And he's saying, I said these stupid things. Verse 5, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear. And now my eye has seen you. Well, he saw the glory and the whirlwind and all that. Wherefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And if you read the rest of the chapter, this is where his complete breakthrough happened. His deliverance, his healing, his restoration. Back up to that third verse. He said, who is he that hides counsel? I've uttered things that I what?
Understood
not. Things that were too wonderful for me, which I what?
Knew not.
I knew not. If you back up to the, the 34, just put it on the screen, 34:32 of Job. Job 34:32. One of his friends was speaking by the Spirit when he said, that which I see not, teach thou me. If I have done iniquity, I will do no more. This is a prayer that Brother Kenneth Hagin Sr. prayed frequently. And if you've heard much of his teachings, you probably heard him to say that. He'd say, Lord, that which I see not, show thou me. That which I've not understood, cause me to understand or reveal to me. And prepare me for that which you have prepared for me. This is an acknowledgement that I don't know it all. This is humility. Come on, y'all with me or not?
Yes.
Say it out loud. That which I see not.
That which I see not.
Show me.
Show me.
That which I've not understood.
That which I've not understood.
Reveal to me.
Reveal to me.
And prepare me, O Lord.
And prepare me, O Lord.
For that which you have prepared for me. Hallelujah. That's a prayer he prayed, I suppose, many, many times. And do you need to pray that prayer? If you, see, sometimes people don't realize it, but if you go week after week and month after month and you don't pray prayers like that, you're acting like you know and you've got it and you don't need the input and help. And that'll be why you are just making mistake after mistake, because you are doing it your way, not even asking about the other. Now go to James, if you would. James chapter 4. Boy, you guys are good listeners, man. You are. Whew. If there's a revelation anywhere around the surface, you just like a magnet. Whew. Joy to minister to. A joy. James 4 and 6. This is the NIV. He gives us more grace. Let's just stop right here. God's grace is unlimited. You're not supposed to just experience grace when you get born again and grace about this. And there's always more grace. No matter how much grace you're operating in, there's always more, much more. Now, grace is a functional thing.
Yes.
Grace, yeah, it's favor. It's unmerited. It's that, but it's many things. It's also help.
Yeah.
Actual, on the ground, help. And that help includes knowledge, revelation, understanding. That help includes the Spirit of God strengthening you with strength in your inner man that affects your whole being. And no matter what you're dealing with, even if you have come short of receiving something or come short of overcoming something for decades, with enough grace, you can get it. With enough grace, you can receive it. With enough grace, you can overcome it. But here's the deal. The proud don't get the grace. Not my words. Only the humble. Only the humble. Notice what he said. God opposes the proud, but shows favor or grace to the humble. So what's our response to that should be, submit yourself. Can you see that? There is such a misunderstanding about submission. In a lot of places, you say the word and you'll see people pull back. Submit. Contrast it with this word. Godly submission has nothing to do with subjugation.
Yeah.
Subjugation is being made to do something. With godly submission, no one is making you do anything. Because the understood subject on every one of these is you submit yourself. If you don't do it, it won't happen. Oh, come on, can you see this? Godly submission is never somebody making you do something. It's you submitting yourself. And submission, the word here means to place yourself under. To place yourself under. You know, Peter talks about that too. Humble yourself. What? Under the mighty hand. Doesn't that paint a picture? The mighty hand of God. Huh? And what will happen? He will lift you. He will raise you. He will promote you.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But if you don't, if you act proudly, know it all, arrogantly, insist on your own way, not only do you not get the grace, you get resisted. That means you're not going to make it. But this continually asking and checking and seeking and inquiring and knocking, that is an act of humility. It is acknowledging, I need to know more. I need your help. I need your help every moment of every day. I need your input on every question, every situation. I don't think I have it myself. I need your input. He said, skip down to verse 13. This all goes together. He said, now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city. We will spend a year there. We will carry on business. And we will make money. Now this is a year out. He said, why? You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. So what you talking about next year? What is your life? It's a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, is this Bible?
Yes.
Is this New Testament?
Yes.
You ought to say what? If it's the Lord's will, and all the Word of Faith bunch said, ooh, Ooh. You mean the phrase, if it be thy will, that we all learn not to say? The very same. Do you see what we're talking about here, guys? Huh? The scripture talks about rightly dividing the word of truth. And you got to watch about learning a truth and making it the only truth and ignoring everything else in the word. No, it's not right when the Lord has revealed and he said he took your infirmities, he bore your sicknesses, he carried your pains, by his stripes you're healed. You don't look at the Lord tied to the scourging post, taking that and say, Lord, is it your will for me to be healed? Why is he there? If you got that revelation, you stop asking, is it his will for you to be healed? That doesn't mean you should never use the phrase again on anything else.
So good. So good.
Are y'all with me? Now, I'm not stepping on anybody else's toes. Word of faith, I is one. Like I said, card-carrying member. I hope in good standing of word of faith. But don't you think that in our circle, many people have just thought you never use that phrase. If it be thy will. Well, here he said to use it. Didn't he? James is Bible. Scripture. New Testament. So what? When he says, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you're boasting. And some folks are calling it faith. All such boasting is evil. And then anyone who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. So is it right at times to say, if it's the Lord's will?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
All you're saying when you do that is acknowledging you don't know everything about the situation. And you might know something is his will, but you don't know all the ways he might want to do it or how he might want to lead you next week or whatever. And beside that, we haven't always been perfect in ascertaining the will of God, right? Maybe we didn't pray like we should, or we listened to something else, and you can come up. That's why you want to watch your language. God told me is a really strong phrase. It's a really strong phrase. And unless you know that he did, you don't want to use that phrase. There are other phrases you can use. I have a witness. Huh? I have an impression. It seems to me. I had a thought. There are different levels of confidence. Is that right? But you got a lot of people, the only thing you ever hear them say is, God told me. God told me. You know, as pastors, there's been times the door was just shut of us helping people because that's how they started. God told me to do this. What am I going to say? Don't listen to God? Ignore God? Why are we talking? Everybody knows you ought to do what God tells you to do. But if you say, you know, I have this witness and I had this impression. What do you think? Can you see what I'm saying? The door is open.
The door is open.
The door is open. And the Lord had said to me some years ago, he said, many of my people are working without a net. That's a trapeze example. If you're high-flying trapeze and you don't have a net and you slip, what's the result? Well, you're done, right? There was nothing to catch you. There was no net to prevent you from dying when you fell. But if you got the net, huh? It's just another practice day. You bounce and bounce and get off and go have lunch. Right? Live to swing on the trapeze another day. And the Lord went on to say to me about the verse that Phyllis read. He gave gifts to men. Apostles, you know, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And he said, a lot of my people are not getting the full benefit out of these gifts that I've given them because they haven't given them place. You see what I'm saying? Instead of going to an elder and asking a question. See, last night's title was, Are You Asking or Telling? So instead of asking a question, people try to act more spiritual than they actually are and don't respect. I mean, when you're dealing with an elder, this walk with God 40 years longer than you have, and you've seen outstanding results in their life and ministry, you shouldn't lead the conversation by telling them, right, what God has said and done. I know I had the privilege of working under Brother Kenneth Hagin Sr.'s ministry, and after a number of years, I was allowed to be in the speaker's room where he was prior to the service every day. And boy, the first week I was in there, I thought, whoo, glory to God, I am in the room with the prophet. And, you know, like we already said before, young and dumb. But my thought is, I can get some big questions answered. See, you're already laughing about this. And I endeavored to be respectful, but at one point I brought up a question about something. And he looked at me, he said, huh. And then he went back to what he was looking at. And then in a few minutes, he said, well, go in there and crank them up good. He's talking about the music. And so I did. And then a few days later, I tried to, you know, approach something a little bit differently. And I said, what do you think, sir, about this? And same response. Huh. Nothing. Well, after a couple of times of that, I thought, this ain't working good. This is not... And I said, Lord, what? He said, don't try to get him to talk about what you want to talk about. Does this sound like our whole theme this week? Trying to get him to do something my way. He said, wait. And if he brings up something that he wants to talk about, that's what you talk about. He's an elder. Show some respect. And so I did. So we went for days with no conversation. But then it wasn't long after that, he brought something up. And I did not interrupt. And I'm all ears. And he talked for 20 minutes. And then he said, okay, go crank them up. And I learned a lesson. How many think with God we should take the same approach? He's the one who knows so much more. And instead of continually trying to get him to talk with us about what we want to talk about, again, that's another way of trying to get him to do it your way. Notice how Jesus taught us to pray what we call the Lord's Prayer. How does it start? Oh, God, I got something important I want to talk to you about. No. How does it start? Come on, help me out. How does it start? My Father. Stop. My Father. Don't rush past these. My Father. This is relational. This is love. This is connection. This is my daddy. My Father, which art in heaven, highest throne, highest power in the universe. Then what do we pray? I really need some stuff today. No, not yet. Right?
Yes, sir.
What do we pray? Your kingdom. Your kingdom come. Your
will.
Your will. See, this includes his workings, his will, his ways. That's what you lead with.
Yes.
Not what you need or what you want.
Yes.
Can you see this?
Yes.
Then you get down to give us this day our daily bread, and I believe it's Luke that says, day by day. Why is that significant? Again, don't get a preconceived idea of how it's going to happen today. God is a surprise God. He's able to do it ways you hadn't thought of, and each day can be an exciting part of your journey, day by day. He said, what you should say is, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. The New Living says, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Look with me, I want to give you four New Testament scriptures that back up what we're talking about, because this is a bit of an adjustment, a bit of a mind renewal for Word of Faith people, which we are and will remain to be.
Amen.
In Acts, the 18th chapter and the 21st verse, is it okay if I take some time and just, you know, scripture. Acts 18:21, he bade them farewell and he said, I must by all means keep this feast that comes in Jerusalem. Now let's stop right here. This is strong, right? This is definite.
Yes, sir.
He's heard from God about this, right? We got to be there. We got to do this. But I'll return again to you, what?
If God
will. Not nearly the same as the first. Come on, can you see this? I'll return to you if God will. And then he sailed from Ephesus. Well, see, that's further in the future than the first thing. And so he's acknowledging, I don't know all of God's plan about that. And I don't know how exactly he would want to do it at that time. But I'm thinking we will if the Lord will. Does Paul know something about faith and living by faith? And yet he uses the phrase, if God will, if the Lord will. In 1 Corinthians 4:19, 1 Corinthians 4:19, a similar thing. He said, I will come to you shortly, what?
If the Lord will.
And I'll know, not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. I'll come, and I don't think it'll be long, if the Lord will. What you'll see is just a general idea. You'll find this to be true. It's the babies and the proud and carnal who are so adamant and unyielding. The wisdom that is from above is peaceable, easy to be entreated, easy to talk to. Instead of just leading with the adamant, God told me, and I've got to do this. First of all, who you talking to makes a difference. And then, you know, how's your track record? The last four times that you were yelling about God told me. How did it work out? Huh? Be honest. Because what? Well, especially the more mistakes you're making, you need you some grace. And you need some more grace. Is that right? Who's going to get the grace? Not the adamant, pushy, arrogant, proud. The humble.
Hallelujah.
Humble.
Right.
One big characteristic of humility is honesty.
Yes.
Honesty. And you should not be too proud or too ashamed. If somebody asks, well, what about that thing you was talking about? God told you on that, you know, last month. You, if you need to, you say, I reckon I missed it on that. Have you ever said anything like that? Come on, help me out. Have you ever? Oh, that's not enough. Have you? Huh? Have you ever needed to say, I reckon I missed it on that. Huh? That was one of Brother Hagin's comments to me, you know, once in a while. Well, for instance, I stayed back because I was speaking and wasn't going to eat before the service. And so him and the other crew went off and had this wonderful meal, you know. And he come back and he said, well, how you doing? And I said, I'm fine. He said, well, you know, anybody can miss it. But it's a fact, right? Anybody can miss it, but you need to be willing to admit that you missed it to your wife. Uh-oh. To your wife. To your husband. Come here with me or not. You need to be... You know, maybe you made a big deal. Oh, I prayed, and I got it. Yeah, but when you saw what happened... Huh?
That's right.
You need to be able to come and humble yourself and go, I'm sorry. I thought this.
Yeah.
But looking at how that worked out,
yeah.
I think I jumped to a conclusion.
Yeah. Yes, amen.
I assumed something.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It's
what
good.
Time is it? My watch is right. It's 9:30. Stand up, everybody. Stand up. Praise be to God. Thanks be to the Lord. Come on, lift your hands. Lift your voice. Give thanks. Give praise. Give glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Give glory.